Welcome to the Northridge Vineyard Podcast. We're a real community of people who are passionate about pursuing God and growing in our relationship with Him. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information and other resources, please visit northridge.org.au.
So it was week three, or the third week of soccer for Aiden, and we finally made it to the game. So it was really exciting. The team that they kind of split the team into two teams, so 4-4. The team that I was looking after, only 17-1 our way. So that was pretty
because
cool.
Of the coaching, though.
Because of the coaching, principally. Yeah, because of the coaching. Yeah, no, it was funny. I turned up at the game and there were some parents gathered, and I said, "Sorry, guys. So where's the field?" This guy looks at me. He's like one of these good dads, you know. "What do you mean, where's the field? You're the coach." I said, "Mate, assistant coach, thanks." You know, just... And no, I've never been to one of these games. I have no idea what's going on, but I'm the assistant coach, okay? Anyway, so it was fun. I was chatting to that dad, and he was telling me about one of the boys that had been in last year's team, who was what he described as a man amongst boys. So this guy, I think, under sixes, like literally, right? And just like a, you know, whatever computer game. And apparently Manchester United scouts had already gotten wind of this guy and he was on the track.
Really?
Yeah. It was not Aiden Starr, mate. He's still looking. He's moved from his shoelaces to something. No, he did score a goal yesterday. I was very proud of him. It was a big, very, very proud dad moment. But this guy, under sixes, you know, like Manchester United, like, yes, we can see it, and we want to provide a pathway for you to make a lot of money for us eventually, right? that's kind of it. I wonder in that, I just thought about that guy, and I started to imagine the parents, and I started to imagine the posters around the room, around his bedroom, and I started to imagine what would be on his television most of the day, and all that comes with giving your heart to soccer. You know? A lot of things change in your life when you give your heart to soccer, right? I started thinking about that. I guess I had a question for you in terms of, I don't know how much you think about your future. My daughter's already planning what university degree she's going to do. So, yes, wow, indeed. I don't think it's particularly helpful, Roberta, but there it is. Wow. But I also know some people, and yet we lived in Kazakhstan for many years, and their horizon was like, what are we doing tomorrow? And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I'm in no way criticizing that culturally, but it was just a very different horizon. So I know some of you, you would know from your cultural background that maybe you're just a massive planner. Maybe you're like, and my goodness, I'm glad there are planners in this culture, because we have bridges and we have a whole bunch of things which need a lot of really clear methodical thought. A lot of it's incredibly important. And yet I love the spontaneity as well of those other cultures in terms of, hey, I don't know if you saw the BBC article yesterday on the state of the world, the world's emotions at the moment. Did you read that one? So Gallup does this global emotions poll, and there are kind of 140 countries that they poll. And you know what one of the top five happiest countries? Do you know where they are? Any guess?
South America.
Yeah, it's Central America, so it's Latin America. They're all just like, hey man, it's cool, mañana. It's like, it's so cool. And we love Victor, right? And you look at Victor, it's like, he's got it. And so it's just, I mean, you look at the, I don't know, the GDP of Guatemala, it's not like, wow, everyone's just rocking it with their third investment property. Like, it's not that. But they've kind of got this, there's this liveliness. But the good news is globally that stress has increased. More of us are stressed more often. Isn't that great? So we've got this. What's the connection of Manchester United and the Gallup emotions thing? Basically, I want to ask you, what's your vision for your life? There you go. Elena's gone there, hands up. I don't know. Fair enough. And maybe don't like cast your eyes out there so much as, oh yes, I want to have a million in my super fund before I, you know. Maybe don't go there, but maybe 5 million. Okay, thanks, Ken. Keep working, brother. Maybe don't go out there, but maybe think about you. So you. Like, because I've noticed something, and I'm getting older, me and Sharla, and I've noticed something, and it's something that whatever is, like Oscar Wilde said, by 40 you get the face you deserve. That was before Botox, okay? So, but that's what he said, by 40 you get your face you deserve. And what he was saying is that kind of what you live out of, it eventually comes out. It eventually comes out, right? It eventually comes out. And so what I've noticed is that as people get older, whatever's in there kind of just comes out. Kind of comes out. Which can be really wonderful. So you get to my age or Charla's age, and there's wonderful good stuff, and it just comes out. And we see Charla, it's just amazing. And you see like all the fruit of just that life that she's lived in terms of just loving Jesus and loving other people. And it's like, oh, I want to be around Sharla. Because you do, right? Because she just carries... Sorry? Oh, no, she doesn't think so. But we get to say, Sharla. So you can have your say later. But you experience that, and it's good. And yet, at the same time, you can meet other people. And my goodness, you've probably got relatives in your family. I've got them in mine. Where it's like, wow, things have not gone well in the choices that they've made, and you have that conversation with that 75-year-old or whatever it is, and it's just, and you can see it in the lines on their face, and it's all just kind of come out eventually, you know. And so it seems like those things just they come out in the end. We're doing this series, right? And I was going to call it Enemies of the Heart because of a book that I saw, but I'd actually like to call it Renovation of the Heart, which is another book, actually. But anyway, that's an aside. We're doing a series looking at the heart. Because it's really important. It's very easy when you start talking about the heart to feel a little bit like, ooh, and feel a bit introspective and a little bit hopeless because you go, oh, I don't really want to look in there. That's why I want you to hold on to this vision thing. So I want to give you some vision for your life. So this is vision. Doesn't have a PowerPoint slide, you might be surprised to hear, Alina. Doesn't. It's from 1 John 3. There are Bibles over there if you want to grab Bible or if you've got it on your phone or something. This is really amazing. Dear friends, 1 John 3:2. Dear friends, we are already God's children. So that's who you already are. That's good, right? It's really good. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. So that's your future. So you're already God's children, but he hasn't shown you what you'll be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. Okay, I'll read that again just slowly. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. So as Christians, we believe Christ will come back again. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. So that's kind of that's the vision that I want you to kind of carry into this series about the heart. Like, something absolutely extraordinary is going to happen to you and to me. And it's really hard to kind of get your head around, because it's basically like your heart is made to love, right? Your heart was made by love and to love. And right now, you've got a whole bunch of stuff happening in your heart, a whole bunch of stuff, and you look, well, that is a mess in there. But one day, when you meet Jesus, your heart will be transformed to such an extent that your heart will be just like Jesus. So you know those moments you have in life when you, and it might be a little glimpse, right, where you've got, whether it's your child or someone that you meet or whatever it is, but you feel in your heart this love rise up. Do you know that feeling? Mm-hmm. Come on, you know that feeling, right? And you feel it and you go, oh, I'm loving. And it feels extraordinary, right? Like, doesn't it? Yes? It feels extraordinary, right? It's like, oh, I'm loving. And I remember when I first came to Christ, I was just totally like just aware that I just could not love people, just deeply convicted of my inability to love people, and then I remember anyway there was a specific moment when I didn't have any kids at that point, so there wasn't that automatic it was like I just don't like these people, they just annoy me, and then I got to this moment when I was on an island in Hong Kong just talking to God about this, like going, God, it's all broken here. It doesn't work, and I can't love people, and yet the only thing you've really told me to do is love people. So, and I can't do what you've told me to do. And I was just asking God for help. And suddenly he gave me love for a person walking down the track. And it just seemed like it wasn't anyone that I knew or anything, but suddenly I felt in my heart just this deep, pure love for this person. And I thought, God, it's possible. You can actually change a heart to love like you love. So what I want to say is that little moment, right? And then the clouds rolled in again, right? But that little moment, it was like, I'm loving like God. But you, your destiny, the future of you, so not a spirit, not a something else, but the future of you is to love like God loves. That's where your heart is going. That's where it's going. But the process, it's don't put it all off. Like the process isn't, it's not like, oh, that'll happen when I'm dead and Jesus comes back and that's for later. It's actually like the guy with Manchester United. You know what I mean? Like his destiny is Manchester United, but he's playing really hard at the football here now. And his heart is set on that. And he can't play professional football yet. He doesn't have those skills, but he's moving in that direction. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's what I want you to have a grasp of that vision for your heart. Like that's your destiny. It's to love God and others as God loves them. Which, because you're made in love's image, that's your destiny. Okay, that's a lot of stuff, right? Okay, but I wanted to give you that vision for that because I want you to have hope in this process. Because we're talking about renovation of the heart. And if we're just talking about renovation of the heart, you start beating around in your heart, you can get really discouraged pretty quickly. It's like when you're, I think I was speaking to someone at ping pong actually on Friday night, and he was in the midst of renovating his kitchen and everything was all over the place, right? And he's just like, I'm sick of renovation. Like, I'm really sick of renovation. I can't use the kitchen. We can't use this. It's like, just get it done. And that can feel a bit like that when we talk about some of this stuff. So I want you to keep hope that God is doing a good work in you and that you will make Manchester United, guaranteed. You will be that person who loves wholeheartedly because it's God's work. But the work starts now. Okay. Make sense? You can just throw your hand up and go, what are you talking about? And that'll encourage me. Okay. So before we're gonna, so this is kind of a 4-week series. But I've been using this word heart, and I really want you to understand what heart is when we talk about it. Because heart, people use heart a whole bunch of ways. Like it's like, hello, are we all doing surgery? Is that what's happening? Fitness, yeah. Is it CAM? Is that what we're doing? We're kind of, but it's not that, is it? The heart, and here's the way that I would describe the heart, okay? Okay, before I do that, I'm just going to ask you a question. I do apologize. In advance. You thought it was a brain, did you, mate? Look at all you artists just sitting there going, this guy's a goof. Whoa. There you go. That's a really disproportionate boat. Go easy. I am, mate, but I'm not a drawer, so just, you know. There you go. Building? Oh, thank you. Thank you for having mercy. Okay, so what do these all have in common? Sorry, mate.
Shelter.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, yeah. I hadn't thought of that at all. That's so good. Shelter. Yeah. What else?
Environment.
Sorry, mate.
Environment.
Environment. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Outside. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Sorry, mate.
All neighbourhood.
Oh, mate, I love where you go. That would depend on the building. We don't know about the building. And there's probably not enough detail in that drawing to actually ascertain what it was made from. So fair enough. They're useful. They're useful, okay, useful. Wow, you guys are like going places I've never seen any group go. This is fantastic. Okay, useful. Yeah, yeah. Ah, oh, did she read the sheet notes? She's like, I'm going to have to help him out because he's never going to finish. Okay. So if you know anything about trees, the only reason they stand up is because of roots, right? If you know anything about buildings, the only reason they stand up is... Yeah. And you know anything about yachts, the only reason they stand up is... Okay, you got the point, right? Now... Have you seen anyone walk past a building and just go, hot dog, look at those foundations, they are spectacular. Has anyone ever done that? Awesome. Again, Vera, I prefer if you didn't bring him along anymore. That'd be great. You walk past a tree and everyone's like, wow, that is just a beautiful root system. I mean, that is just spectacular. Or walk past a boat, that keel, stunning. Does anyone do that? No. See, enough on that. Okay. Okay. Does anyone walk past a heart, not a human heart, not the physical heart, but the other heart? Does anyone really walk past and go, wow, like you receive love from someone, or someone serves you, or someone speaks a kind word, or someone, and they go, wow, look at that heart in action. Sometimes. Sometimes, maybe. So we have that phrase like, oh, that person's really got a good heart, don't they? So we have a sense of that, don't we? There's this guy, Dallas Willard, who I'm going to quote more than I should, but he said that we live from our depths.
Depths.
And we live from our depths. Cam's like, amen, brother. I'm sorry, was that... Thank you, RS. Yes, amen. Okay, all right. Sorry, Ken. It's cracking me up. All right, okay, so. That's not right. Okay, so. Yeah. So what's this? Iceberg, awesome. So it's the 90-10 principle, right? Awesome. So to understand the human heart, the best picture I have to understand what the human heart is when we're talking about the human heart is an iceberg, okay? That's because all your hearts are cold. No, that's not true. Stop because of that. Okay, so here's how this works, okay? So this is below the surface and this is above the surface. Below the surface, above the surface. What do you see here? What do you see here? You see words. You see behavior, right? This is what I experience of Cam when he says, live from our death. So, like, all I have in terms of my experience of Cam is the stuff he does, right? His presence, his words, his behavior, right? That's all I experience of Cam. I have no idea what's going on inside Cam. I got no idea. And there's no way I can tell. Like, I get what he gives me. That's it. But there's a lot more going in under, like, on in Cam than just that, right? That's our experience of each other, right? So that's the heart, and it's worked out into behavior and words, right? But there's a whole bunch of stuff going on here, and I want to just give you a sense of how this has a sort of gradient on it, I guess is the word you could use. Okay, so you've got your thoughts. You get a little bit deeper. You got your feelings, and then you've got your beliefs. And there's this, there's just, these things are constantly, they are the things that are shaping these things. Does that make sense? So it's interesting when, and you'll know this with people that in terms of your interaction, if someone says something to you, it's like, oh, you know what I think we should do? I think we should get ice cream. I feel like, you know, let's do ice cream. So that's a thought, right? And that might impact your behavior. You go, okay, I think we should do ice cream. Let's go and do ice cream. So you take the kids or whatever down to the ice cream. Okay, I'm doing ice cream. That's one level of, and that's kind of reasonably superficial, that thought stuff. But then you've got like, you know, I feel like we shouldn't send our kids to that school. I just feel like that. I don't know why I feel like that, but I just feel like that's not the school for them. Okay, so that's a different level of knowing, I guess. And then there's this level, which is it's beliefs and it's knowing, and it's this deep sort of, I know this in my gut. It's just this grounded, and it's one of your core values and beliefs. It's like it's your depth, right? Like you've got stuff that I could talk to you about that you would just go light up like that when I mention it. And it's like, oh, wow, okay, Justin really feels very strongly about that. I don't know why he does, but that's been established as a core value for him. So we've got those sort of levels operating in our heart. And in here you've got your emotions, and you can see you've got your thoughts, and you can see you've got your history, and your story is another way of putting that, and it's all shaping how I'm experiencing you. That is the human heart. Okay, so that's what we're talking about, and it might be the stuff that poets talk about, and it might be the stuff that it's not. We're not trying to split up spirit and soul and heart. We're talking about your inner world. Does that make sense? Yeah? Does that make sense as a useful sort of thing? So as we talk through this series, when we use the word heart, that's what we're talking about. And I could show you biblically that's the way the Bible talks about the heart, because it uses the word very loosely, actually. It's used in lots of different ways, but it's kind of that. So if you kind of keep that in mind. Now, the thing is, right? The thing about this is, if I said to you, right, so what God wants, right, from you is for you to be a person of love. And they go, what does that look like? It means you take the rubbish bins out for your friend. Oh, fantastic. Okay. So that's what I need to do, is it? I just need to take the rubbish bins out for your friend. Yeah. That's all you need to do. And that's what Jesus' change program is. It's just so you take the bins out for your friend. Okay, cool. I can do that. Do I have to think good thoughts about my friend? No, don't worry about that. Just get the bins out. What if I hate my friend while I'm taking the bins out? Does that matter? No, don't worry. All Jesus wants is the bins to go out. No. No, that's not the Jesus change program. Because he's talking about your heart being transformed into a heart of love. So you know there's stuff you think about your neighbor? He wants to change that. Not the stuff that you verbalize. Yeah, that'll come. He knows that if that changes, that changes. But he actually wants to change you so you're a person of genuine love. Isn't that incredible? I think that's incredible. And so Jesus has this thing that he says. This thing that he says. It says, so you can see it here, right? For out of the heart, this is Jesus speaking, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. So this is part of a religious conversation. He's talking to these religious people and they're like, you didn't wash your hands, you need to wash your hands because God told us to wash his hands. He's like, it's not about your hands. It's really not about your hands, okay? Just get over it. It's not about your hands. The reason I didn't wash my hands is because I want to show you that it's not about your hands. It's about your heart. Do you understand it's about your heart? And they didn't understand that it was about his heart, about their heart. But he said, like, it's interesting because he says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality. So you can see he's quickly, they're not thoughts, right? Evil thoughts and then they're actions. They're just going, whoosh. So everything you are comes out of your heart. Nothing that you do, like, nothing that you do doesn't go through your heart. So to quote someone else, We live, parent, lead, relate, romance, confront, react, respond, instruct, manage, problem solve, and love from our heart. Nothing doesn't go through our heart. And so the ancient counsel from these people, this is Proverbs, ancient wisdom, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So, how do you do that? How do you guard your heart? Okay, I'm going to do a quiz for you, okay? Ready for a quiz?
Multiple choice.
Yeah. Good for your heart, bad for your heart? Good? Okay, cool. Great, okay. Good for your heart, bad for your heart?
Good.
Ah!
Which heart are we talking about?
Well. Yeah, that's right. It makes my emotions very rich. It's good for that heart. Okay. Good for your heart, bad for your heart?
Good,
okay, all right. Well, you guys are great at this, okay. Good for your heart, bad for your heart?
Nah.
Good for your heart, bad for your heart?
Good.
Nah. So, if I asked you, how did this heart get to be this unhealthy? You could probably tell me. So the physical heart. What about your other heart? What makes your other heart unhealthy?
Things that you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Anger.
Anger, mate. Yeah. Anger. Yeah.
Temptation.
Mm-hmm.
Negative thoughts.
Yeah, okay, your thought life. Yep. Yep.
The wrong crowd.
The wrong crowd, yeah. There's certainly, we're really shaped by the people we hang around with, aren't we? Yeah, hugely. Yeah, yep. Fear, yes, good one. Hugely, so fear comes right down, like it's almost in this area, it's so deep, and yet it's constantly shaping stuff. Like we have, and I think there's a, for this to be an effective little series for us as a community, we're going to have to kind of be honest with each other and honest with God. You know, we've kind of been walking through the life of Jesus and going, yep, isn't Jesus awesome? But this is kind of, I wanted to just do a practical little look, like how does this stuff touch down our lives? You know, what does it mean that I'm a person now who's loved and forgiven by God? And how's that going to change me? That's kind of what we're doing here. And so, because we have these, like it's interesting, and I don't know how you work with your stuff, but you'll have moments, probably have moments where you have this reaction to something, right? So your kid does something and you're, right? Or your spouse does something or your friend does something and you're like, or as Jenny was talking about in terms of that fear, like someone suggests something to you and it's like, you just kind of almost feel paralyzed by the fear around that. And, so, and you can, there are two ways of treating that, okay? So you can see that as, I wonder if this is it. No, that's not it. That's not it. That's it. I can't read the... You can treat that stuff, right, that you experience, that at your spouse or at your kid or that oh, response, and you can treat that as an exception. You go, oh yeah, that's, well, you know, that's not me. Come on. Like, I mean, yeah, I reacted, but that's not really me. Like, and so, you know, you go, so Maggie, you really should forgive me because it's not really me. You can treat it like that and just kind of get yourself off scot-free, right? It's like, no, that's not me. I'm not like that. I'm actually a loving person. That's not me. You can treat it like that, or you can actually be honest with yourself and go, the only reason that stuff came up just when it did is because it comes out of this. And so the stuff that I'm seeing is actually a reflection of what's unseen. It's like this, right? It's like I see the tree, the height of the tree is reflected in the roots, the size of the roots, the height of the building reflected in the depth of the foundations. The height of the mast reflected in the weight of the keel, same thing with our hearts. So the challenge, the invitation to you, I guess, in this time is to actually like be a bit honest and go, okay, am I going to, over these next couple of weeks, treat this stuff that I bump into, because it's going to be probably straight after church, some interaction with your kid. So, oh, no, it's not me. I went to church, it's not me. Or you go, okay, well, what's actually going on in my heart? Why am I reacting the way that I'm reacting? What's that telling me? Because reading it like a dashboard, what's it telling me? And maybe God is using exactly that to start a conversation with me about something that's meaningful. Do you know that moment when you're having a conversation with people and they're just talking about the weather and you're la 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 la, and then someone says something and you go, oh, that was a different thing that they said then, and now we're talking. Do you know what I mean? Like, where that's that shift. Sometimes I think we need that in our relationship with God, where it's like la 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 la, and then it's like, okay, now we can really talk. You want to talk about that, don't you? Let's have that conversation. So, making sense? So I've got a little thing for you. So just to get you into the honesty box, I've got a little checklist which I didn't come up with. So this is the How's Your Heart checklist. It sounds exciting, doesn't it? You don't have a pen, I don't think. Maybe you do. You probably don't want a pen. It's your How's Your Heart checklist. So yeah, just pass them on. I won't do it, obviously, because I don't need it. So I want to encourage you to just take a few moments now. Just run your eye over that. Run your eye over that and think of your spouse and think of just how bad they are at all this stuff. So, yep. You're cracking me up, Maggie. Number five. No, of course I haven't, yeah. I don't do that. That's that other guy, yeah. Yeah. So in case you're wondering, oh, God, we've got nothing to talk about. Okay. But this is why I started this talk with that vision thing, because it can be really easy just to get, like, discouraged and just like, oh, here we go. This is this part where I have to confess all this stuff and, oh, my gosh, now we sit around navel gaze, you know, as a kid I did this and then I did this and then I did this and everyone's got to come up with a worse story than the person that just said next to them. And so it's not that. It's not that. That you have real hope, because God is, you will be that person of complete love. You will be. And my prayer for me anyway, and for you guys, is that as you grow, you will become increasingly people of love. We as a community will be marked by love, because that's what Jesus did all that stuff on the cross for, to transform people into people of love, who love God and love each other deeply from the heart, from right down here, not from just here, like all the way through. There's this thing of integrity. You know that word integrity? It's an engineering word, right? It means it's just solid all the way through. So you're not a hollow, I say one thing and I do something, and you're all the way through. God wants to bring integrity right through you. So I want to leave you with a promise, a process. So this is a reflection on process and promise. So it's a process, but there's this promise that God gave to his people. When these people had just stuffed everything up, they'd stuffed it up, they tried and they'd stuffed it again, they tried and they'd stuffed it again. And God said to them, in the midst of they were exiled as a nation. So this is Israel in exile. They'd lost everything, the promised land, everything had gone to pot. And then God came to them and said, I love you, and this is what I'll do in you. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And flesh, that means soft and loving and good. So that's the promise, guys. So in the next, this is just to give you an overview of what this series is going to contain. So it's going to contain four enemies, or four spaces for renovation, I should rephrase that, and four habits, okay? So the four enemies, or the four areas of renovation are, as Julian said, one of them's anger. Another one is greed. Another one is jealousy. And another one is
guilt.
Yeah. So, and then there are corresponding habits that we're going to start to sort of practice as a community to start working some of those things into our hearts. So that's where it's going. There's a book by a guy called Andy Stanley called Enemies of the Heart. So if you're a reader, you might want to read that over this time. If you're not a reader, there's a little Bible plan that's even shorter called Enemies of the Heart by Andy Stanley. And then if you're not even that, then come along, I guess, to church. Something like that. So that's the invitation. So guys, are you up for this? You up for this? I love this little community. I think I had a whole bunch of conversations with people this week from around here. One with Justin about firewood, which is amazing. But just a whole bunch of really good conversations, guys. We're doing this already as a community. Like, there's a whole bunch of you guys, like, just leaning in, just going, like, let's do life. Let's do this God and love and thing together. So it's here. So it's not like we're trying to drag ourselves in a different direction. I see this, but we just wanted to pour fuel on what God's already doing in terms of changing us. So, yeah. So the invitation here now, as we close up, is just want to give you some space just to read over those questions again. And Andy Stanley in his book talks about the way you can tell what God wants to have the conversation about is the one you feel uncomfortable about. So all you need, you don't need any particular divine revelation. You just need to, which one do I feel uncomfortable about? And then invite God to give you some help in starting a conversation with him about that. Is that right? So I'll give you a couple of minutes now, and then I'll close in prayer. But just, yeah, take some time with God to just run your eye over the list and see where this conversation starts.